Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Well, another wild and interesting week worldwide. We had a very interesting weekend here in Key West. We had Hemingway Days. Hemingway lived here for 10 years, wrote one of his most famous books, started a couple of others. And we have a continuing, every year, we call it Hemingway Day, several days during the week. We pick a Hemingway lookalike. 122 people came from all over the world with white beards, white dashes, white hats to participate in the Hemingway lookalike contest. And I find, I'm sharing this with you because I happen to like this event. We have the Running of the Bulls, Pamplona, was it P-O-M-P-A-L-O-N-A, in Spain, where Hemingway actually went and used to watch the Running of the Bulls every year. Well, we had our Running of the Bulls, though the Bulls are machete, wood, they got wheels on the bottom, and the Hemingway lookalikes hop on top. They're wearing white shirts, white pants, red bandana around their waist, and a fire engine red beret, and away they go. And if these were real bulls, half of them would have been killed because they're all over each other going down the street. That being the case, let's talk about more serious things. I want to start tonight with politics here in this country briefly, but I've got to hit on it. I want to talk about Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. I think Trump is an idiot. I'm going to say it outright, openly. I don't think he's not an idiot. That's the wrong thing for me to say. Actually, the man has to be brilliant. He has to be very smart. He's made a ton of money. He's a billionaire. He had the good fortune of starting with a chunk of money from his dad or with the help of his dad. That's still, though, he compounded it and made it into a little molehill into a big mountain. And for that, he's to be complimented. On the other hand, he does not appear to me to be the type of individual that I would consider could be president of the United States. He just, to me, he's too radical, he's too outspoken, he's too bullyish, et cetera, et cetera. But there he is, he's number one in the polls, and he may very well continue number one in the polls. They say he will not, he'll never make it, but let me tell you something. We are in a bad way in this country, and we all know it. Those who are making a lot of money know it, and the people who are not making a lot of money know it. We're in a bad times yet. You know, the market's at the highest it's ever been. Things haven't been better in years. But let me tell you, who's making the money? The top 1%, 10% at best, they're making millions of dollars a year, these guys, some into the billions. But what about the rest of the people? I see people still losing their homes here in Florida via mortgage foreclosures. I see people leaving Key West to move to a cheaper location up north someplace because they can't afford the rents, because they can't get a job that's paying them enough money, and so forth. So things aren't good here. And I don't see Trump making them better for the working people. He says he will. I doubt he will. I really can't see it. And I think his mouth is the type that's going to get us in trouble all over the world instead of correcting problems. Then there's Bernie Sanders. I got to tell you something. He turns me on. I'm a liberal. There's no question about it. I believe a function or the function of government is to take care of its people. And Sanders is way to the left. He's farther to the left than I am. He is a socialist, nothing to be ashamed of, because I think all liberals are socialists. But he has touched a sensitive nerve in America also. We know things are screwed up in this country, and that's why a Trump or a Sanders has a chance. And good luck to Bernie Sanders. I think when push comes to shove here, you're going to have a problem. He's got Hillary. She's going to be a very big competitor. She seems to be losing ground as he ascends. But then if she's out, in comes Joe Biden. And I happen to think Joe Biden would make a fantastic president of the United States. I had the pleasure of meeting with him several times at Syracuse University when we were both engaged with the law school. And I think he'd be a good man. But Bernie Sanders is talking. He's talking the talk. And he'll do it. Trump is talking the talk, but he's really not saying anything, and I don't see how he can accomplish anything with his attitude and his way. Which now brings me to the following subject. People screw up in life. You know, we're all sinners to some extent. None of us is absolutely pure. Again, I repeat it, we're all sinners to some extent. And that's why we have confessionals and our confession in our various religions. Well, some people who are in positions of power and should know better do stupid things. And then they got to pay for that stupid thing. They got to pay for their sins. Perfect example, Bill Clinton, President of the United States, gets orally copulated in the Oval Office. I have to smile and laugh as I say it, because you got to be a nut to get orally copulated in the Oval Office. You got to be a nut if you're President of the United States to get orally copulated, period, outside of the marital bedroom. But he turned out to be one of our great presidents, went through a lot of garbage and crap because of it. Well, the newest news this past week is there is a House of Lords member over in Great Britain, House of Lords. He's a big shot. He's the head of some ethics committee or something, for real, in the House of Lords. And his name is John Sewell. Well, John Sewell did something stupid this past week. A newspaper in Great Britain called The Sun, S-U-N, has been after him because they figured this guy was not behaving properly, and they caught him. They got him on video, and they've got him on audio, and they've got pictures. And what did John Dole, Deputy Speaker of the House of Lords, do? Well, he snorted cocaine off the breasts of a prostitute, off the naked breasts of a prostitute. He snorted cocaine off a tabletop, ain't no question about it. He was critical of the prostitutes that had been sent to entertain him. He said, I wish they had sent an Asian girl because they always look innocent and it gives me much more pleasure. He took his clothes off on one of these videos, though I didn't see that one. There's several all over the internet. I saw two or three of them. I did not see the one where it has been reported. He took his clothes off, and he's there with these prostitutes. He's got to be out of his mind. The guy's got a big job. I assume he's got a family. He's a leader of a great country, and how can they do these things? I mean, I'm not Simon Pure, don't get me wrong, but I'm not the President of the United States or a member of the House of Lords. This guy's in trouble. He's in big trouble. He ain't going to keep his job. Let's talk about policemen for a moment. I'm not going to talk about the usual thing about cops. We know that we've had the stories of police officers shooting blacks, police officers choking blacks, peace officers shooting whites. Police officers choking whites, all kinds of bad things. Policemen are very abusive today in this country. In the last 10 to 15 years, they've become extremely abusive. They forget they're sworn to protect the people. Instead, they abuse the people, the very people they are sworn to protect and keep safe. I'm going to give you two examples that don't involve shootings. They're stupid things, but scary, and you can see that this, whatever this is that permeates the minds of our police officers throughout this country today, affects them in every part of their job. We're in Medford, Connecticut, and Stephen Liepert is a software designer, and he must be a geek because he has a dashboard camera in his car. He's not a cop. He's a software designer. He's like everybody else. He works for a living, has a family, and he put a camera on his dashboard. Now, he's driving around, and he's in an area that he is not familiar with, an area he has never been within before, and did not know that the road he was on entered into a rotary. You know what a rotary is, that thing that goes around. I mean, I'm confused every time I get on a rotary. In fact, I had a police officer stop me once, and he says, you really don't have much experience at driving rotaries, do you? And I says, no, forcing me to give me a ticket for the bad thing I did. But what Stephen Leeper did when he entered the rotary, he didn't go in the correct direction. He went in the wrong direction. He's driving his car around the rotary against traffic. There was an off-duty police detective, 30-year veteran on the force, and he wasn't on duty. He's off duty, and he's driving his own car, and he's in shorts and an undershirt. This is summertime. And he saw Leeper make this bad turn into the rotary, et cetera, et cetera. He pulls up to him, pulls him over, and yells at him. He says, he doesn't tell him he's a police officer yet when he tells him this. I'll put a hole right through your effing head. I'll put a hole right through your effing head. All right. I'm going to put a bullet through your head. And his gun was obvious, though he wasn't training it on Leepert's head. Now you're done. You're finished. At this point, Leeper says, this guy's nuts to himself, doesn't know he's a police officer, and starts backing his car away. The police officer pulls his badge and says, I'm a police officer. So he stopped, and he explained to him, you know, I didn't know. I've never done this before. I don't know the neighborhood. And while the police officer's yelling at him again, saying, you know, I'm going to put a bullet through your head and all this shit, Leeper says, I've got a dashboard camera taking all this down. This did not dissuade the police officer. This did not stop him, and he kept doing it. Okay? Well, he's on administrative leave right now while the police department's looking into this. All of this is on the dashboard camera, of course, of Leeper. Nothing's going to happen to Leeper. The police officer could get a suspension out of this, perhaps. You can't act that way. He should know better. Sure, the citizen did a terrible thing, driving the wrong way on a rotary is like driving the opposite way on a highway. I mean, it's crazy. You could have caused several deaths. But what is, and what was done was done. I think the police officer conducted himself wrongly, and that's why we have these kinds of problems today, because they act stupidly, in my opinion. Power has gone to their heads in the last 10 or 15 years, which now brings me to Portland, Oregon. This one's sort of like the situation involving the Lord there in England that I talked about a few moments ago. We're in Portland, Oregon, my friends. The police officer's name is Polero, Officer Polero. During the day, the police department got a call from a hotel that this woman's calling saying from her room, my boyfriend's beating me up. Officer Polero and several other police officers hurry over, take care of the problem. They responded, dealt with the problem. The boyfriend's taken out. I don't know what happened to him. It's not material to the story. The woman's name is Reed Thomas. Now, this is in the afternoon. At 3:30 the next morning, guess who knocks on the door? Officer Polero, police officer Polero. He's in civilian clothes now, but his gun is showing. And he comes in, and he takes his gun, puts it on the table, takes all his clothes off, and looks at Reed James and says, you're now going to take care of me. And he told her what sexual acts she was going to perform on him. She couldn't get away from him. She couldn't get to a phone. She spent seven hours in that room being sexually assaulted by the police officer. It so happens that he does have a history of misconduct, this Polero. Just last year, the city was successfully sued because he forced his way into somebody's home without a warrant. What bothers me is this. Let me tell you what bothers me. Polero is not in jail. He has not been arrested. He is not in jail. Again, the situation's being investigated. If that was you or me, I'm assuming I'm talking to a male for the moment. If that was you or me, and a woman said, we went into her hotel room at 3:30 in the morning, we had a gun, we took our clothes off, or I took my clothes off, and I told her, okay, you're going to orally copulate me, anally, but vaginally, we're going to do everything, and I kept her there for 7 hours, abusing her sexually, I would be in jail immediately. You would be in jail immediately. This guy still isn't in jail because they're investigating. He gets a benefit of the doubt that other people would not. And I just think this is wrong. going to go back to Great Britain again. I'm staying with police for a moment here. I'm not going to belabor you all night with police stories, but I want to touch on this one. Police officers in Great Britain have a problem also, but they got a problem that's different over there. They have a huge Muslim population. The Muslims have come in the last 10 or 15 years in huge numbers, initially welcomed in Great Britain. The court systems are bogged down, especially family court with Muslim cases. They're fighting over whether Sharia law should be used or not. There are problems on the streets. There's a problem. We don't read about it here, but there's a problem over England because of the Muslim immigration numbers. Well, somebody wanted to know how many police officers, okay, had been in trouble, not because of Muslims, not because of immigration, but what was the number of police officers in each department that screwed up and lost their jobs and maybe went to jail for doing something wrong? The organization interested in this information sent out 45 Freedom of Information requests. They only received 25 back, but the 25 back were interesting. In the last 3 years of the 25 responses received, 309 British police officers were convicted of sex crimes, assault, and, this is terrific, possessing indecent pictures of children, videos of children. So they got a problem over in Great Britain, too, different from what we have here. Equally bad, equally disgusting. I have commented, especially in the last 2 years, that I think our judicial system is starting to fall apart. And I believe that the people in the United States, the people of our country, are losing faith in the judicial system. Court decisions are absolutely ridiculous today, a lot of them that come down. The outstanding one, of course, being Citizens United, decided by the United States Supreme Court 3 years ago. And now corporations and rich people can give as much money as they want to a political candidate, in excess of $1 million. You and I give $5, $10, $25, maybe $500, maybe $1,000 if we're able to. How can we compete with that kind of money? So the big guys, that 1%, are buying our elections, are buying our elected people. Okay. The decisions tend dramatically to favor police officers today. Dramatically favor police officers. Think about how many cases you've read about in the last 2 years where the police shot at somebody and killed somebody, and the police officers were let off. Either they weren't indicted, or they were let out or dismissed after trial because they didn't do anything wrong. They thought they were in fear of their life. They had a right to react. We've all had this sour feeling in our stomach when we heard of these stories and read about them. Let me tell you about one that's got to bother the hell out of you, and this gives police further strength. Court gives them strength based on the mere fact that police officers, in my opinion. We're in Texas. Everything is done differently in Texas. We're in Texas, and a police car pulls over a vehicle that's being driven on the highway, not speeding or anything. And the reason he pulls over the vehicle, is that he sees air fresheners hanging from the rear window in the front of the car, the rear view mirror. He sees a pair of rosaries hanging there, too. And he also sees on the window of the car, the side window of the car on the driver's side, a decal sticker saying, "We support the local police." And because when they stopped the car, they had no reason to stop it other than the three things I told you about, the air freshener, the rosaries, and the decal. But when they went in the car, they found something they shouldn't have found, but they didn't have the right to go in that car because under the law, we've got to follow the law, a police officer must have a justifiable reason to pull over a car. And if he doesn't have a proper reason, a justifiable reason, he cannot pull over the car. And if he does, anything that he's found in the car cannot be used against him. I don't make the law. That's the law. Well, this case somehow got into a federal court, and the Federal Court of Appeals in Texas, the Fifth Circuit, said if they had air fresheners hanging from the rear view mirror and rosary beads and had a decal saying we support local police, that is a justifiable reason to pull over a car. It is an indication of criminal activity. Yes, because if somebody shows that they've got all these goody-goodies, good things on their car, then obviously they must be doing that to cover up something bad they're doing, and a police officer can stop that car and any other car doing the same thing for no other reason than the police officer saw these things and investigated the people and the interior of the car. I don't like the decision. I can't believe any of you are going to like the decision. My concern is that we are becoming a police state. We're not yet. We're getting closer and closer to being a police state. Our rights are going to be gone. I mean, look with how the police officers are treating people the last 5 years in this country, the blacks, the whites who've been shot, beat up, choked, and everything else. Perfect indication that they're going too far. Look at what they use now. I mean, our federal government has given tanks, body armor, everything else to local police departments, and they use these things. They all have SWAT teams. They use these to serve a family court summons, et cetera, et cetera. We are being intimidated. They are bugging our telephones, our cell phones. They're bugging everything they can in this country. Why? It isn't right. And we don't speak up as a people. We do not speak up. I know that excuse, well, there was 9/11. 9/11 was 14 years ago. It could happen again tomorrow, but it was 14 years ago. It's not right. That should not be used as an excuse today. And we sit back and we take it. And someday we're going to wonder why they're lining us up and pushing us into concentration camps. Not that they're going to put us in gas chambers, I don't think, but because they don't like you, because maybe your thinking, your political thinking, isn't what they believe should be popular, all right? Or maybe the color of your skin, okay, may not be brown, may not be black, may not be of an African ancestry, but might be yellow or tan, indicating a Middle Eastern ancestry. Do you see where we're going? This is wrong in this country. We're going to talk about ethics now. I love this. I love what I'm going to tell you now. We are considered a welfare state, the United States. We are. We're not as a lot of European nations, though, are more socialistic than we are or ever will be. I happen to believe if people can't take care of themselves, again, it is the responsibility of government to take care of them. Why the hell do we have government? All right, to set speeding limits for us, okay, to tell us not to walk on the grass. When you can't put food on the table and you need food for yourself and your children, when you're disabled and cannot work, we need government to help us. Otherwise, why do we organize? Anyhow, it just came out. There was a study done, all right? And right now in the United States, there are 48 million people on food stamps. 48 million people on food stamps. 11 million people on Social Security disability. 11 million people on Social Security disability. And since 1970, the fewest number of people are working in this country since that date. In other words, today, fewest people since 1970 working, earning a pay. We're not even saying a good pay. And so the people to the right in this country say, oh, the work ethic is gone. We used to have a work ethic. Now everyone's freeloading on government. We are a welfare state. We have developed a welfare ethic. And I say to them, this isn't a welfare ethic. This is people in trouble who need help from their government. That's the way this should be viewed. People in trouble who need a helping hand. I'm going to go to China here. Now, sometimes I think we sleep while the rest of the world moves. The United States sleeps. And I'm talking about China right now, because China has not been sitting on their ass in recent years. You know it, and I know it. And what's going on? Well, China is building islands. They're not just taking islands and building runways, air runways on these islands. They are creating islands in the Asian seas so they can have bases for their airplanes, so they can move them to the Middle East and to the other far eastern countries. Because maybe, just maybe, they're going to go to war. Just maybe they're going to have to defend themselves. In the last 5 years, China has built up its naval force dramatically, big time, to the extent that we cannot compete with the Chinese Navy today if we had to. We're spread thin between European waters and Asian waters. We are spread very thin. We do not have enough Navy vessels to compete. And the reason we don't is because, and China's done this in 5 years, they built this thing up, is because our Congress doesn't allocate enough money to build new naval vessels. They allocate a lot of money for the military, but for things that don't make sense to me. You know, they bribe people out of their budget with millions of dollars, warlords in Asia, in the Middle East, to be on our side, who take $25 million and 2 weeks later go work on the other side because they got $50 million now. And they're ahead of the game $75 million. It's just not, we're not spending our money effectively, I don't think. I read somewhere recently it costs us $4 million an hour to maintain whatever this war is that's now in Afghanistan, even though the president cut back dramatically the number of troops there. $4 million an hour, okay? Crazy, absolutely crazy. So what's happening now? China. We have to look at Africa. Who talks about Africa anymore? We know there are bad things happening in Africa, but Africa really isn't number one on anybody's list of places to discuss. Well, you got to look at the South Sudan. There's a lot of crap going on there and people getting killed. And the United Nations has sent in, okay, a peacekeeping force. And the peacekeeping force consists primarily of permanent security council members, of which China is one. China recently sent 700 combat-ready troops to this multinational peacekeeping operation in the southern Sudan. You say, well, what the hell, 700? Well, they sent the most of any other country, okay? They did better than. But the thing that really impressed me and concerned me is that overall, in Africa today, China has 2,700 military personnel. No other country in the world, including us, has that many people in Africa. China is establishing its base of power, base of interest now in Africa. And as I said at the beginning, China does not sit on its ass. Well, that's the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I did not bore you. These topics are interesting. And we have to listen to me sometimes, listen to other people who talk like me, listen to people who take the other side of the street. I mean, they don't agree with me and they tell the other story. We've got to listen to these things. We've got to consider them. We have to weigh them, or we's going to be in trouble someday, big time, because I think we're heading that way anyhow. This show is archived, as you know, on Black Talk Radio, YouTube. It's linked immediately to my Key West Lou website. You can catch it there. And I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. If you like the show, buy my book, Amazon.com. If you don't like the show, don't buy the book. You will not enjoy it. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to being with you again next week.